My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of the Galen Institute, one of the most respected healthcare policy firms in the country. With less than 3 weeks remaining before Election Day, we've come across a very important reminder. Unlike the story 1 year ago, we are not going to know the full impact on whether folks can keep their insurance and what their premiums are going to be until after folks head to the polls, the official release date for that coming after the November 4th midterm elections. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure.
Well, we knew months ago that this was going to be the case because of how it impacted the elections last time. What do you make, first of all, the administration changing the date in relation to when we're going to really find out what folks are going to be facing here?
Well, it really is, I think, quite cynical to have started the enrollment date, re-enrollment date, on November the 15th, when last year they started it on October 1st. But obviously, I think you're right that they don't want people to be enrolling and seeing their higher premiums before they head to the polls. But we've already seen premium increases in many states, and unfortunately, many of the swing states. You're seeing double-digit premium increases. Obviously, there are many different companies, and there are many different regions within the state, so there's no one rate for that state. But in some places, you're seeing, you know, 10 and even 20% rate hikes. Some other states, you're seeing them level off. But remember, this is on a base of an average increase of 41% in the individual market last year, because remember, the plans have to be so much richer, and the many people are paying a higher premium than they otherwise would have because of their age and other categories. And so people are paying a higher percentage on a much higher base. And people know this. They already know. And as you said before, people are going to start getting cancellation letters. Those people who renewed one more year because their plans were grandfathered, that expires in most cases the end of this year. And what that means is that people are going to start getting cancellation letters. Some of them have already started getting them now, but most of them actually have to be in the mail by 60 days before the end of the policy cancels, which is right about the time of the election. So they're cutting it really close. But I really do think, Greg, that the American people get it. They already know that this law is costing them more. Their coverage is worse. They're not able to keep their plans. They're not able to keep their doctors. And they're not happy. And I think they're going to go to the polls and have a say.
Follow up on that a little bit if you can, Grace Marie, because that was one of my big questions, is since we saw so many plans go through upheaval last year, whether that would taper off because they're already on the new plans. But you talked about the plans that were grandfathered. In other words, you had insurance companies last year saying, we still don't know what's going on, and so we're going to let you re-enroll before everything officially takes effect. And now, of course, that's coming to an end of that year. So what are businesses, what are individuals going to be looking at with respect to that?
Well, what that means is that they have to get Obamacare compliant plans, which have many more rules and regulations that they must follow, as well as the much richer benefit package. So people are seeing their premiums go up from $300 to $500 a month. A woman that talked with us in a focus group said that her family policy was $400 a month for her policy through her husband's job, and their share was going to $900. Many people are finding that their average deductible, the amount of money that they have to spend out of pocket before the insurance even triggers in, is now in the Obama exchanges, is about $5,000 a year. So people are seeing higher deductibles, higher co-payments, higher costs, fewer doctors, and they are not happy. Independent Women's Forum has done a poll showing, especially in swing states, people are feeling personally impacted by this law, and by a 2-to-1 margin, they are saying that they are negatively impacted, either themselves, their family, their friends. Sometimes it's a higher cost, and sometimes it's somebody who's lost their jobs or lost hours because workers are being cut back on their hours so that the employers don't have to pay the fine for not providing health insurance. And we saw Walmart recently saying that it's going to drop health insurance entirely for its part-time workers who work fewer than 30 hours a week so that they can go to the exchanges. Well, it's going to cost them more, higher deductible, it's going to be worse coverage. Those people are not happy.
Grace Marie, a couple of questions before we let you go. Number one, Obamacare has certainly been a campaign issue this year, but it generally seems to be kind of lumped in as a Republican argument as to why this president's just not working. Democrats are his allies. It doesn't seem to be the specific issue that it certainly was in 2010 and even to some extent in 2012. Is that your read as well, and what do you make of it?
It's not my read, because I think what it's fallen off of the radar screen as far as national media coverage. I think that's primarily because there's so many other things happening in the world that's falling apart. But in local campaigns, this Obamacare is still an enormously important issue. And when I say local, I mean actually congressional and Senate campaigns. When you go out in the states, it continues to be a big issue. There are a lot of ads about this. And the reason is, I think, Greg, is because when entitlement programs have been passed in the past, it took years for people to feel the impact. When Social Security was passed in 1935, it was years before people started to see the huge hit that this took out of their paychecks. So Medicare, Medicaid took a long time for that to get rolling. People have, as I said, been negatively impacted 2-to-1 by this law in the first year. And so people are already finding that this law hurts them, it hurts their families, and as a result, it really is an issue in the on the campaign trail. I don't know what people are proposing they're going to do about it, but they want to have, they are mad. The intensity factor is very high. The people who are mad are like 3 times more mad than the people who are happy with the law. And as I said, 2-to-1, people have been harmed by, more people have been harmed by the law than it's helped by it. So yes, it is an issue in the elections, in congressional elections, in the senatorial elections, and I think that we may find that it actually becomes a deciding vote of whether or not somebody says, oh, it's really fine, I voted for it, or whether or not their opponent is saying, I'm going to go back to Washington and we're going to take care of this because we realize how much harm this law is doing.
And that's the exit question. What do you recommend as being the alternative? We have Ed Gillespie in Virginia, who's actually had a fairly specific plan as to repeal and replace. A lot of Republicans still say repeal and have a more patient-centered system. Others say, look, it's already underway. It'd be really hard to peel all this back. There are certain provisions like pre-existing conditions and letting young adults stay on their parents' plan for a while that would be very unpopular to roll back. So what's the better approach? Rip it out from the roots, or the other way?
It's really hard to take this out root and branch. One of the reasons that people were so unhappy about Obamacare is that it was so disruptive and it changed so many things all at once. I don't think they're going to have much patience for Republicans to come along and do that. What you've seen as the Speaker's strategy in the past, and I think it's very likely to be what they do in the future, and that's really a step-by-step approach to common sense reform. They're going to tackle specific issues. I think you'll very likely see a repeal of the medical device tax. You'll see perhaps a relaxation, an extension, maybe even repeal of the mandate on employers and on individuals. And frankly, the president's not going to sign anything anyway for the next 2 years to repeal the whole law. But if you get enough Democrats supporting repeal of specific provisions, he may be forced to sign them. Could be a part of the bigger legislation, or that you get such big margins that you have a veto-proof majority so that you can override the president's veto. So I think that what we're likely to see are strategic strikes against this law, undoing some of the worst damage of the law to really pave the way to get to the right kind of reform when there's a new president in 2017, if one is elected with that kind of an agenda. So it's really a holding action, trying to minimize the damage over the next 2 years, showing the path they would take by giving consumers more choices, giving people more flexibility with the kind of benefit packages that they buy, not ones they're told they have to have. Those are the kinds of things that I think are possible in the next couple of years. You're not going to repeal it while the president's in office, but you can begin to whittle away and undo some of the worst damage.
Grace Marie, we'll be watching. Thanks very much for your time, as always.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.